This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You know, it means a lot. I say this to a lot of people this morning, but, you know, like, you are a truly, like, organic relationship that we've built. You know, we talked when I used to do the political show in Boston, and now that I'm in Connecticut, we're a little bit closer, and you've done a great job with us, you know, giving us your Republican perspective and general perspective on the air. And for you to come up from Fairfield and make a generous donation to the Salvation Army, I just want to personally thank you. And I know... you know, obviously you're a family man and so on and so forth, but what compelled you to come up and be a part of things? I really appreciate it.
Well, look, I think this is an important cause. I think the holiday season kind of cuts both ways for a lot of people, right? It's a year end, supposed to be happy family. Financially, it's tough for a lot of people. So if we can kind of lend a little bit of a hand and make it easier, why not? And then, again, I've appreciated our friendship. And if nothing else that, you know, comes good out of politics, at least we have each other, Brian.
That's right. We do have each other. And it's good to have, I mean, I consider myself one, and I think you are too, just people that are, you know, obviously you have your beliefs. We don't agree on anything, but we're not ideologues to the point where we tune somebody out just because they have a different opinion. So, and that's, you know, that's what I really appreciate, because I know where you stand politically, but you're also open-minded. And it's been tough. Politically, it's been a challenge across the board. I mean, my biggest frustration is you can't disagree with anything without being labeled totally against it, right? So, like, if I say something that's a little bit critical of the president, then I have Trump derangement syndrome, right? And if I say something that's critical, you know, of the left, you know, I think their, especially congressional leadership is really, really poor and weak right now, then I'm like a MAGA guy. I mean, it's just, why can't you be issue by issue? I mean, hey, thank you. How are you, sir? You go by Bill? Marsha? Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. You want a bell for the tree? Yeah, yeah, it's a Bevan Bell, Salvation Army. Yeah.
We read the story.
Yeah, in the Current the other day, yeah. Thanks, Marsha. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. And that's the thing, people just come in. The political environment, is it getting any better from where you sit?
I think, you know, overall, not necessarily, you know. I think that's just kind of the time we live in today.
Has it been different? Like, when you started doing this, was it different?
I don't think so. I just think a lot of the media attention and the fact that it's, you know, 24 hours around us makes us a little bit more attuned to, you know, a lot of the dysfunction. You know, I was watching, not to plug Netflix, but I was watching Death by Lightning, which is the miniseries they had about, you know, the president. Now I'm blanking on the name, but... Anyway, you take a look at kind of the way that it was put out there for the Netflix series. It was James Garfield's assassination. That's what
it was. Oh, wow. Way back.
Way back. And then you take a look at kind of the manipulation.
A little light viewing for you.
It was great. You know, but it did put some things in perspective where, at least the way it was portrayed in the miniseries, it was that it was just as dysfunctional. It was just as kind of hard kind of nose and, you know, punchy back then. But they just didn't have Twitter, right, or X. They didn't have radio shows. They didn't have 24-hour media. So I don't think the average American voter back then really kind of was that consumed with what was happening. And I say that because, you know, our country came out of that, right? It was post-Civil War. You know, we went through the Civil Rights Movement. We went through what we're going through, you know, the last 10 years. So I do think we'll come out of this, and I do think that there'll, you know, inevitably there'll be some sort of uniting moment, whether good or bad, that brings us kind of closer, but inevitably we'll drift, right? I think that's also been part of the secret sauce of, you know, American history, right?
Yeah.
We've been rebels from the beginning, so.
I always find it, because I've read a lot of the, especially 20th century, about the penal system and mental health and everything. We've never had it right. You know,
never.
It's always been a struggle. I do agree with that. I hope that there's, I don't want to unify through tragedy, right? I don't want to have a 9/11 to bring us together. But I do, I would love a figure that isn't as polarizing, that can unite. But then I think about, when was the last time we had that? I mean,
yeah,
we haven't.
To your point, again.
Since Kennedy, maybe. I don't know.
It's been a tragic kind of part of history that it's typically some type of event that puts us together, right? Yeah. Whether it's, you know, the presidential assassination of Kennedy, you know, some of the world wars, 9/11 you referenced. You hope it doesn't get to that point, but ultimately I think that's what's going to take us to kind of come back together to remind ourselves that together we're America, but at the end of the day we're going to have a nasty food fight in between.
Yeah, Ozzie Palomo from Troutwell Strategy joining us here. I'm Brian and company, doing a great job with being a part of the holiday store. We just had Bill and Marsha drop off a check. We have tons of people coming in this morning, even our buddy Ken Goslin at the Hartford Current as well. I mean, obviously, you deal with both sides of the political aisle, but, you know, from where you sit, how are you feeling? We're far away from the midterms, but, you know, going into 2026, what's the feeling on the ground with on the Republican side right now?
Yeah, look, I think there's some cause for concern on the Republican side. I think this tends to happen when you have the trifecta and total control of Washington. I think the electorate expects the Republicans to kind of flip a switch on everything that kind of was perceived to be wrong over the last 4 years and then right. Make it better overnight. These things take time to evolve. But if you take a look at the last several months, I think the Republicans, particularly in the House, have kind of logjammed themselves with a big to-do list in a very small period of time before the kind of that electorate mindset's going into the midterms. So they've got some work cut out for them.
When it comes to like lame, it's almost hard to fathom Trump as lame duck at all, because just the way he leads, it's going to be difficult. But you already see some sort of, it seems like jockeying for what the post-Trump world's going to look like. Is that going to potentially negatively impact that ability to get some of those things on the list?
Yeah, I think the jockeying for 28 started in 24. These guys are perpetually running, trying to make moves and figure out where they're going to go next. I think Trump's an anomaly. I think, by and large, he's done a pretty good job of fulfilling, his agenda. A lot of people don't agree with it. But if you take a look at the successes he's had, he has kind of started ticking off one by one of what he said he would do. Some of them take a little longer, like the war in Ukraine and some other stuff. But I think, it's hard to see him not playing a central role in Republican politics, certainly now as the president and leader of the party. But going into the midterms in 28, he is making a commitment to be more out there for the midterms, because I do think he understands that that's part of his success going forward. He doesn't want to have to deal with the Democratic Congress and, being subpoenaed and potentially impeached again and all that stuff. And I think people will start to attune to that. He does have largely unlimited funds in his political action committee, which he's, according to what I've read, plans to spend it on the midterms. There's going to be, for the first time ever, a midterm convention this year, which has never happened in the history of politics.
It's really an interesting, again, it's his idea, but in some ways to generate energy, makes a lot of sense.
I mean, listen, we now have a track record that a lot of these voters show up when he's on the ballot and they sit it out when he's not. So I think he's going to try to make 26 about him in a positive way. And he needs his people to show up. There's about 3 million or so Republican voters that voted in the last election that aren't Republican voters, right? They're kind of rented voters. They're Trump voters, but not necessarily party voters. So how do you get them out there? It's going to take the president spending his time and money in his megaphone, and it's going to take a lot of work for them to, show up.
I got flack for this earlier this morning asking this question to Jill Schlesinger.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. One of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You're from CBS News. Is it Trump's economy yet? Like, at what point? Because remember he said the trade deals, he said, wait till the fall. And I honestly, I'm a separation of powers guy, and I believe in all that. But I also feel like he won, so he has the he does have a mandate to put in his economic agenda, and if tariffs are part of it, I actually didn't have a problem with him doing it. Not because I agree with it or disagree with it, because I kind of don't agree with it, but I felt like it was his mandate to be able to do that. I don't know if it's legal or not, but I thought, you know, it's his economic agenda, and he won. So, but at what point, and he doesn't want to own the economy yet, at what point, if he doesn't already, will he?
Well, I think it is his economy, and I think a lot of those ton of tariff deals took some time to develop. I think the administration probably thought it was going to be a little quicker and faster than they wanted to, but they got the bulk of the big ones done, you know, actually into the fall. I think Korea was the last big one that they signed. They're waiting on India and a couple others to kind of fall through. But I think it's his economy. And I think, you know, look, the Armageddon scenario of tariffs never played out, right? There were a one-time hit to the economy. I think consumers and companies adjusted. I think, you know, how they play out in the long term with some of these investments is going to be critical. But I do think there's a lot of positive indicators today that kind of foreshadow what's coming in the first and second quarter next year. So I think maybe it's a quarter or two behind where the administration wanted it. But you do have the benefits of the tax cuts coming on the individual side and hitting families beginning next year, which I think people will see, and it's going to be very real. I do think those investments that were made, I think once those shovels get in the ground and the boxes start going up and people start showing up to work and they see that, that's going to be positive. Inflation numbers have been pretty largely positive over the last couple of months, and it's going in the right trajectory. And I think the jobs numbers have actually been somewhat positive in private sector growth. So I think the only job numbers that haven't grown are government jobs, and I would argue that's probably a good thing. So I think all the pieces of the recipes are there. But it is his economy to own, and I think the next quarter is going to be a big one. So,
what's the spread of your kids' ages? What do you have?
They're 11, 9, and soon to be 5.
Okay, and so 11, we're still full belief?
So she has been a helper with the elf. I hope they're not listening.
Okay.
And it's funny.
So she knows that gets moved by...
Yeah, and at first, you know, we were pulling into the driveway. I let my wife go in first to move the elf, and she said, "I know what she's doing." I said, "Shut your mouth." So I told my wife, I go, "I feel like it's an end of an era. I'm so sad." And my wife said, "Are you kidding me? I have a helper now. When you travel to Washington, I'm going to put her to work."
Yeah.
But I still think the Santa belief is real. And you know, I'm 44 years old and I still believe.
Yeah. I mean, we don't go big on Christmas. It's like, it's a spirit thing. If it puts you in a good place and you're grateful for what you have and it's fun, it can always be there type thing. Are you guys, they have to come in at a certain time? Do you set their alarm clock, or are they jumping in the bed at 5 a.m. type thing?
You know, the problem is the 11-year-old's transitioning and the preteen, so I'm never sure when she wakes up. It's either super early or we have to kind of nudge her out of bed.
Right.
My son's a pretty regular wake up, and then the 5-year-old, I think it's going to, or soon to be 5-year-old, it's going to be hard to kind of keep her enthusiasm down. She'll probably be up at like 4:30.
Right. Just make sure that they're all asleep when you eat the cookies and put the carrots in the trash and all that, drink half the glass of milk or whatever. Ozzie Palomo, thank you, dude. Have a great holiday.
Brian, appreciate it.
Chartwell Strategy, and again, came all the way up from Fairfield to help us out with the holiday store.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.